I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Oversharers podcast. I'm Hartha.
And I'm Kalton.
And we're here. A burp.
Should we let her burp, guys? Do you want to hear it?
And you
was it inside burp?
Inside. It was that.
Came through the notes.
Welcome back to the show, guys. How are you doing? Is everyone feeling good? I'm sad.
Why are you sad?
Because Chandler died.
Oh, Chandler.
Honestly, I literally recently rewatched Friends as well.
Did you? Mm-hmm. For the 12th time?
Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's just one of those shows that you could just rewatch all the time?
I've never actually watched Friends from start to finish. Like, I used to watch random episodes while I was eating or if I just had some time, but I've never done it from like season one. Because I just find that if I start from season one, they all look really young and it's just not, do you know what I mean?
Do you grow with them?
I know, but I just don't know if I can do it
to
myself.
The last season is dead, though.
It's like the first season of Fresh Prince. It's just old.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? I want to watch from like season three onwards, because that's when I really gets juicy.
When I get with the moniker. Anyway, so guys, I was scrolling through the TikTok and I saw this video. Did you guys know that Chandler and Julia Roberts went out?
No.
He wrote this in his memoir. Anyway, there's loads of pictures. And this is what he wrote. I found this very cute. But also, I thought about it in a way where, like, in the 21st century, would this happen? Anyway, let me carry on. So he goes, about their courtship, Perry wrote.
They were married?
No, they were dating. They were dating. They were going out.
Oh, sorry. Why did I think courtship was marriage?
I know. But in
it's the Islam in me.
Yeah, it is. It is. But in their dating era, Perry wrote in his memoir, 3 or 4 times a day, I would sit by my fax machine. Guys.
Fax machine.
By the way, Julia Roberts has got this crazy ass story about how she met her current husband. But I'll tell you guys that another day.
Who's Julia Roberts' current husband?
Julia Roberts' current husband is, he's a director perhaps. But the way she met him, juicy.
No.
There was cheating involved, affairs, what? Another woman. It was crazy.
And she still chose him?
She was the one that was cheating.
And he still chose her?
Yeah, I don't know if they're still together. Yeah, they are. They met on set in 2002. He's called Danny. Oh, God, it's just, I'm going to get the story for you guys another day. I saw Shameless Media did a whole thing on it. It was so juicy. Anyway, back to Matthew Perry, okay, because it's Chandler's day. Let's give him his time. Anyway, Matthew Perry was going out with Julia Roberts and he goes, 3 or 4 times a day, I would sit by my fax machine and watch a piece of paper slowly revealing her next mischief. I was just so excited that some nights I would find myself at some random party sharing flirtatious exchanges with an attractive woman and then cut the conversation short so I could race home and see if I got a new fax. Don't you find that so weird? No, I find it weird. It's cute. I get it. But it's like, for us, it's just like we text. And for them, like, they used to literally wait for faxing. Isn't that random?
It's the baby boomer era.
Literally. Anyway, and then it carries on saying, he goes, and he was, like, deeply insecure, can I say. He goes, dating Julia Roberts had been too much for me. I'd been constantly certain that she was going to break up with me. Why would she not? I was not enough. I could never be enough. I was broken, bent, and unlovable, he writes.
Aww.
So instead of facing the inevitable agony of losing her, I broke up with the beautiful, brilliant Julia Roberts. Isn't that sad? I felt so bad for him.
Why?
Because his own insecurity made him sabotage himself to break up with her, even though it was going so well.
Do you know what? I was looking for, like, posts from all the other Friends casts on social media. They haven't said anything yet.
Bless.
I know. And then I saw an image today, like on puberty, and it was like the one where we lost a friend. That's so sad,
that's
isn't
so
it?
Sad. the show, there's an episode where he was like, imagine I'm the first to die. And he's the first to die, guys. Anyway, R.I.P. Chandler, what can we say?
Not a lot. I mean, did you see the size of that pool, though?
He's a rich man.
And the last post on his Instagram page is him sitting in the pool.
Yeah, and he was like really obsessed with Batman. He used to call himself Matman.
Matman. But then in the report, it says that he'd like died in a jacuzzi or had a heart attack or something in a jacuzzi. Yeah, so I don't think it was in the big pool. No, maybe it was in like the corner.
There's a jacuzzi on the corner.
Yeah.
I saw the wide frame. But he had a nice house.
He did have a nice house. What happened yesterday?
Suella the couch. I don't even want to talk about her. She's really pissed me.
Suella.
Yeah.
Suella is just, do you know what? Suella reminds me of like a villain in a cartoon.
Yeah. She reminds me of the villain in Ariel.
Yeah. What was her name? She was called, oh, it's going to annoy me. And she had the crazy hair.
Yeah.
She just reminds me of just off there. You know what I mean? Kalbi, I couldn't tell
you. Ursula.
Ursula! She's Ursula!
She is.
She's Ursula. She just doesn't want good for this nation. She doesn't want good for the people, them.
I just don't know how someone saying ceasefire gets fired is freedom of speech. It's questionable. Big question mark.
No, we need to give people context. So basically, today we saw that a Conservative MP by the name of Paul Bristow has been sacked as a parliamentary private secretary after calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Also, a Labour MP has been sacked because of a speech where he said, "We won't rest until all the people between the river and the sea can live in peaceful liberty." He got sacked for calling for peace. Like, what?
They're really triggered, the government, I mean.
They're clutching at straws.
Very triggered by the words "from the river to the sea." Like, it's not going to be labelled as anti-Semitic.
But he even went as far as to switch it up.
Yeah, he did. He tried to fashion it up a little bit.
Yeah, he made it.
It's quite poetic, the people from the river to the sea.
Peaceful liberty.
Now, if Shakespeare wrote that, they would be...
They'd be lapping it up.
Literally. But, you know.
But, yeah,
Islamophobia is just thrife.
It's just really sad that people can't call for peace.
It's like a dystopian world.
I know. Anyway, some good news. So, you know, there's a baby that was born in the harem. And they're trying to say that that baby could potentially be Imam Mahdi.
No, I don't want to hear that because that's going to scare me.
That is going to scare me too.
No, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, they're saying it could. It's going around in the aunties' WhatsApp groups.
That it could be Imam
But that baby is Imam Mahdi.
So
what's been happening this week? How are you? How's life?
I'm all right. You tell me about you. I've got nothing going on.
Oh my God. Okay, so basically, I was doing a deep dive today. I saw a TikTok. It's me that's found a TikTok.
It's not me anymore, guys.
So I found a TikTok, yeah, where basically a lot of people talking about how useless like the UN response has been and just how rubbish they've been in their response to the situation in Gaza, right? So then this girl, so you know how people always do these, like they start digging around,
I think I know what you found.
Is it the executive director of UNICEF?
And her husband being the BlackRock director.
I know! So I was like really shocked about that. So basically the executive director for UNICEF is called Kathy something or other. And she's married to the chairman of BlackRock, you know, that massive investment firm in America that just has, you know, like large assets and like they're like the top shareholders of like loads of companies. Anyway, her husband is the chairman of BlackRock. What does BlackRock do? Well, allegedly, they've got shares in loads of like guns and like cluster missiles and things like that.
Mm-mm.
And they probably, I don't know, I'm not saying that they're a supplier, but it's giving, I can't speak on this because I'm about to get rich on this.
Let's Google it. Is BlackRock a supplier?
BlackRock Weapons. Yeah, so they're the largest shareholder in gun stocks. So these lot are getting rich off wars.
Of course they are. Of course they bloody
the executive director of UNICEF, they need to like sack her.
Surely that's like a
conflict of interest.
Of the UN. But you know what, this season of whatever's happening and the climate has taught me.
I love
me.
How you said this season, like it's like the episode.
This season of the world, of what's happened, this episode of the world. This, okay.
Whatever's
happening has just taught me that governments really and truly,
they can't be trusted.
They can't be trusted. They're not for the people.
They're not for the people. They're for themselves.
The UN is very much useless. I think they can implement things like sanctions and things like that, but they're choosing not to.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, if we're saying it's because their director is sleeping with the director of BlackRock. They're married.
They're probably having conversations in bed like, honey, you know,
you've got to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, like, we can't really act on this right now because we're about to make trillions of dollars.
Like, honestly, to me, I just I can't, you know, when you open your eyes as a child and you see the reality of what adulthood is, like when you reach the age of 24 and you start paying tens of thousands in bills and you realize that reality of adulthood means that you're basically just a horse that's working in this cycle of doing fuck all, right? Excuse my language. I feel like we've all just woken up and realized that this all means nothing.
It means nothing.
I swear to God, like, I don't even know why I pay tax. I'll be honest.
What am I paying tax towards? Like, I need to know, I need to see a breakdown of where my taxes are.
I just feel like the wall has been lifted from our eyes.
Right.
And I feel like it's not just us, I feel like it's the whole world. And I feel like TikTok has played a massive part. And now I get why they wanted to get rid of TikTok in America. Because it's the biggest, it's the most useful app that people can just talk and share information and investigate and actually come up with shit. And like,
but then we've got shadow bans and things.
We've got all
place.
These shadow bans, but the shadow
posts
bans
getting
are
deleted.
Going. Even if people are shadow banning, which is crazy to me that we don't have actual freedom of speech, which is, it's like the people's voices are rising.
Yeah, if it's not, if someone shares something on TikTok and it's good, if they're shadow banned, somebody's going to pick up that video and post it elsewhere. Like, we're going to find it on Twitter. We're going to find it on an
Instagram
reel.
Yeah, like everything's going to happen.
So everything is just open. Like, what I like about TikTok is it's just, it's like open season.
It's an open network.
For knowledge. It for knowledge sharing.
Is. I mean, obviously we have to take it with a pinch
with
of salt.
With a pinch of salt.
You know,
we don't.
But
know,
like,
yeah.
Still, I feel like it's opened up.
But
so
do you know what?
People's...
Even if you do take it as a pinch of salt, you can just go. You can look at a video. You can listen to what it's saying and just go and do your own research.
Literally, but it's that thought that's just like gone into your head. That's amazing. Mm. And another thing about TikTok, you know, last week I was talking about that girl that was reading the Quran.
Yeah.
So she's called Megan Rise. You guys check her out. She's so funny. Anyway, she's created this Discord chat for people to like read the Quran with her. So like there's like loads of people in this Discord. Everyone's reading the Quran at the moment.
Yeah.
Salam Barak.
Salam Barak.
So then she recently got to like the verses of like, you know, like Allah's miracles. So like she got to the part where Jesus, you know, Isa alayhi salam, starts talking as a baby. And she's like, what? It's like the baby's talking? She's like, if this ain't a sign. And then she got to the verse where she saw, where like Allah talks about how he creates the embryo and like it's not just, so she was like comparing it to the Bible where they just say it's a seed, but here they talk about an embryo and a fetus and like the liquids meeting and like creating this, the whole ovulation process.
Biology.
Basically.
In a nutshell.
And she's like, 1400 years ago? Are you mad? It's so funny. And then she gets to the bit where, like, the two rivers can't meet.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, my mind is blown. Like, I can't believe it. Oh, my God. She's just so entertaining. But it's just opened up so many people to just read the Quran. Even me. Mm. Like, I'm a Muslim and I want to read the Quran again.
Mm.
And it's like that idea of reading the Quran. I'm not saying Quran. Reading the Quran. What's wrong with me? No, reading the Quran. But they're all reading it in English format.
Yeah.
And I've never actually like sat down and read the whole English format in the Quran, have you? Just when you're doing surahs.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I've got this book that basically is like the simplified
version
of the English translation, and it's got like a commentary before every chapter. It's so good. I'm gonna send you the link.
Please.
I think it's called like the miracle something miracle Quran. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but it's really good. Anyway, yeah, no, like that just made me laugh because
like 1400 years ago,
the seas don't meet.
It's like, how do they know this? It's like, girl. And then people in the comment section like, you need to get to Surah Maryam. You need to get to the surah where they start talking about the shaitan.
You need to get to the surah. Oh, that's so
that
funny.
That snake, the shaitan, what he did to us. But yeah.
No, that's so funny.
But yeah,
like, no, but I like the fact that this, like, obviously, you know, there's a lot of negative stuff happening in online at the moment. But I like that... people are counteracting it with like positivity.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like bringing people closer to the deen, it's waking people up.
Yeah.
We're like somewhat aware of the matrix that we're in. We know it's that crazy. All these like political entities are probably buddies, friends making money off this situation. Do you know what I mean?
How are you feeling about boycotting Starbucks? I'll be honest, I was never really a coffee girl like that.
I've never been a Starbucks girl in my life. I've never been,
no,
like,
had a face.
There's people that wake up first thing in the morning and get Starbucks. Like, I'm happy making coffee in my kitchen.
Indeed.
I'm happy making bog standard Nescafe.
Indeed.
Do you know what I mean? I don't need Starbucks. I don't need McDonald's.
It's annoying that McDonald's is down the road from us.
No, McDonald's is a difficult one, should I tell
it's
you
It's up
why?
The road from our house.
Yeah, it's up. There's one right up the road from our house. And also, like... it's a difficult one for me. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I have to get out of a certain habit with McDonald's, whereas with Starbucks, I was never really a Starbucks girl.
Like that.
But there's loads of other brands like Costa.
What?
Yeah, I think
I've got to get rid of my Costa card.
You've got a Costa card?
Oh, sorry. I was confusing Costa with Costco.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
Yeah, and then Coca-Cola.
I went to Cafe Nero the other day. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, there. But Coca-Cola, that's a difficult one because they... like own loads of beverages.
It's the same as, you know, guys, can I tell you something? You know, loads of people, and this is the thing that I've seen on Instagram recently, loads of people are coming for Muslim influencers. So like, there's a few people have really come for recently. And I just feel like, can we just like park it up a little bit? Because it's not really fair.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular person, she didn't post an ad. It was like she took a picture. She went to a Fenty event previously and she took a picture and posted the picture. And like thousands of people came into her thing. Like, you're a sellout. How are you doing that for money? Like, it was just horrible. If you read her comments, I'm not even gonna read it. It's horrible.
But I just don't understand. Like, what do people gain by pressuring influencers? Like, if you want to make a difference, start with yourself.
Yeah, like, hold on.
Like, why are you looking at other people? Like, look
but
at
it
yourself.
It was just really, and to me, it wasn't even an ad, but also it's like, people are dealing with what's happening in Palestine in their own way. Like, has donated £1,000.
No, but there's a lot of that weird shit happening on social media where it's like anything people post, anything people do, their scrutiny.
They just grab
like someone was recently saying, like, what's the point in like protesting or why? Or there's like pressure to like post more on the stories. Yeah. Like, what? Like,
do you
know who I am? Do you know what my morals and values are? Like, do you know what I'm doing behind closed doors?
But also,
it's not. You don't have to be pressuring people to do stuff. Like, you don't know if that person's into Hajj and making dua for them every night. Like, get off people's cases. Everyone, the whole ummah, is suffering as a result of what's happening in Palestine. Yeah. And I could say that with chest.
Yeah, we all are.
People just are dealing with it in different ways.
I feel like people get like a certain, and maybe you guys can,
it's like
let
virtue
us know.
Signaling.
Yeah, but it's like I just personally think, yeah, that was very mean what they did to her, and it's the way they attacked her as well. And I feel like with someone like her, she's often really celebrated people,
yeah,
especially
she's
Muslims.
She's good peoples.
She's good peoples, but like she's celebrated peoples. So like she's really brought brands in to support Muslims. So like she does when it's Eid, when it's Ramadan, she does like loads of collaborations with brands to work with Muslims to make it more inclusive. And things like, and I just feel like people just need to ease up. I just felt bad. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I get the anxiety as a person who has a platform to not post a particular brand because of what's happening. But I also feel like they need to make their own decision.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, if you're not happy with that, just unfollow them. You don't need to abuse them.
You don't need to be commenting.
Like, you commenting, you're a sellout, you're this, you're that, it doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, it's their job.
Yeah.
Like, brand deals, contractual agreements they had before, it's their job. Like, if they want to make that huge stance and say, you know what, today I'm going to boycott Mac.
Like, Give them time to do that. Like,
I think people need time to process
Yeah, give them time to come up with those conclusions themselves. But just throwing, like, shade and hate, like, on posts, I'm sorry. Like, if anything, I just don't think that it's going to do any good.
All right, guys, I've got another true crime for you. So let's go. Gather around, y'all, because I've got a good true crime story. That's how he said it. To tell you, and buckle up because this shit is doozy. That's how he said it. Anyway, this is a thread on TikTok. No, this is a thread on Twitter. Right, let's go. Can we still call Twitter Twitter?
It's called X.
But anyway, have you ever called it X?
I'm just going to go and log into X quickly.
Go to log into X, like no one calls
I'm just going to search X. Nah, can't do it.
Right. We've got Jennifer and Jamie. They were a happy couple living in the Dallas area on a beautiful suburban street where all the neighbors knew each other. Jennifer and Jamie were a happy couple living in the Dallas area on a beautiful suburban street where all their neighbors knew each other and had a loving neighborhood Christian community. The type of place where you can go next door and ask to borrow a cup of sugar. I've never borrowed a cup of sugar from my neighbors, have you?
Yeah.
No.
Number 7 and number 10, to be exact.
Mm-hmm. Not number 2?
No.
Jamie worked in IT and was known as fun-loving sweet guy who would help anyone. Everyone thought he and Jennifer were such a good match, even though he always said he didn't want to settle down, and they were so in love, and friends noted how affectionate they were. One morning, Jamie and Jennifer went out for a walk with their dog, and their neighbours heard 9 shots. 9 gunshots.
Trigger warning.
One of their neighbors were running over to help, but noticed a shooter in all black with his face covered by a blue mask. So he ran back inside and returned with his own gun. The way they have guns so casually, it's crazy. But by then, the killer had taken off. The shooter had fired 9 rounds into Jamie at point blank range, execution style.
What, he killed him?
Mm. He attempted to...
On a cheeky little dog walk.
He attempted to duct tape and subdue Jennifer, but was scared off when the neighbours came running. Everyone in the neighbourhood runs outside to console Jennifer, who's in shock. Her husband was just killed in front of her, and they wait for the police as his body lay in the middle of the driveway.
Oh, no.
So think of Wisteria Lane.
And then, like, this psychopath comes out of nowhere, starts firing.
A random man.
So did he shoot Jamie 9 times?
Yeah. And he tried to duct tape Jennifer, but then the neighbours came out.
So he's just run away?
And then he ran away. I know. It gets juicy. The community rallies around Jennifer and her daughter as Jamie was the breadwinner and they now have no means of support. They start a GoFundMe, take turns walking Jennifer's dog, and Jennifer starts a group text chain with her neighbours to keep them updated on the case. Jennifer told the police the description of the killer, which wasn't very helpful because he was covered head to toe. But a witness did tell the police they saw the man get into a black pickup truck with a T sticker on the back.
A what sticker?
A T. Like,
oh, like letter T.
Yeah. Cool. The community was dumbfounded. It seemed very clearly a targeted hit rather than random crime. But everyone loved Jamie, so who would do this? A disgruntled employee? Jamie and Jennifer had a nice house and a vehicle, so maybe an attempted robbery. Jennifer kept the neighborhood group chat updated on the police investigation, which she shared was frustratingly going nowhere with no leads. One of her friends in the chat, who was ex-military, said he thought it may be a veteran who's trained to empty the clip. But suddenly, out of nowhere, police have singled out a person of interest, a man named Darren, who lived thousands of miles away in Tennessee. Darren had a black truck, in question, and you could see the outline of the letter T decay that he's since removed. Darren was apprehended in
Tennessee. You can see the print of the T.
Yeah, that was removed. How dumb.
That's very dumb.
Darren was apprehended in Tennessee with his daughter in his vehicle. He was extradited and arrested, but the interrogation goes nowhere as he immediately asks for an attorney. But who is Darren and why would he want to kill Jamie, a random man in a completely different state? Right, random, right? Well, let's rewind 7 months. Darren was in the army and just coming out of being honorably discharged.
Did he have a relationship with the wife?
After a vehicle that he was in got blown up and killed a dozen soldiers. Darren was one of the four that survived and he was struggling with PTSD, vision issues, brain damage and more. Now a disabled veteran, rethinking his life, he decides to reach out to his high school sweetheart. They went to prom together and had a great relationship, but lost touch when he immediately joined the army after high school and got stationed in South Korea. He looked her name up on Facebook and sent a long message to his high school sweetheart about how great they were together, how he'd been thinking about her, and how his life would be different if they ended up together. Her name was, you guessed it, Jennifer.
Dun, dun, dun.
Jennifer was shocked to hear that her old beau had wrote to her. So she wrote him back a beautiful note about how his message made her feel so great and to hear how he's doing. She gives him her email address, phone number, and they continue to be pen pals. The messages back and forth begin to escalate both emotionally and sexually.
Oh.
They send photos.
Damn.
No. They send photos back and forth, long detailed messages about their sexual fantasies, including BDSM, handcuffs, choking, spanking, the works. These conversations go on for months. Jennifer finally tells Darren that she's in a toxic, abusive relationship and that her husband, Jamie, treats her horribly, even physically abuses her. At a certain point, Jennifer and Darren were literally sending thousands of text messages to each other in a 24-hour period. Jennifer confides in a close friend via text that she is having a full-blown emotional affair with her high school boyfriend, but her secret doesn't last long. One day, Jennifer's husband, Jamie, discovers the emails. He flies into a rage and writes back to Darren that he knows what's going on and he needs to cut off the communication with his wife immediately. Man to man, he asks him to stop, but he doesn't. Eventually, Jamie tells Darren if he doesn't stop, there's going to be consequences for himself and his daughters. He begins to send photos of Jennifer with cuts and bruises on her body to show him how he's punishing Jennifer for her affair. He's beating Jennifer. I'm not going to say that word. It's the R word.
Oh.
Jamie even starts forcing Jennifer to have sex with other men and supposedly be raped. As a punishment for continuing her affair with Darren, that's when Darren makes the decision to travel across the country in his black pickup truck, pay for gas in cash, show up with 9 bullets into Jamie. Jennifer's now grieving widow, going on the local news months after the murder, sobbing and asking for help. Her GoFundMe nets 60K and Jamie had 400K in retirement benefits. She also files a claim for his 600K life insurance policy. She sends Darren credit cards and gifts. But she can't collect on the insurance because the murder investigation is still active. The police obtain Jennifer's phone and she has deleted all communication between herself and Darren. There's just one problem. She forgot to delete that text with her friend confessing the affair. They have Jennifer and Darren dead to rights. They set the whole thing up, intended to live off Jamie's money and life insurance after he was dead. Lied about the killer trying to tie her hands up with duct tape so she seemed like the victim. But it gets worse. She's been all over TV with her crocodile tears talking about how she shouldn't be a widow at 48, happily accepting all the money everyone's giving her and in turn sending it to her boyfriend in Nashville who killed her husband. She's been showing him with money, gifts, big screen TVs, all that kind of mess.
Why does this remind me of Gone Girl?
Giving him access to her Amex and telling him to buy whatever he wants. Everything Jennifer said to Darren was a lie.
What?
She was never abused. Her husband Jamie never knew about the affair. She pretended to be in Jamie's emails to Darren where he confronted him about cheating on his wife. She faked the photos, she faked the scratches, and she faked their bruises.
Why did she do all that?
Eventually, every text or email that Jamie ever sent to Darren about his wife was not real. It was Jennifer pretending to be her husband to create a false narrative that she was a battered wife. Darren had told Jennifer to report her husband to his job. She said that she wouldn't. Darren told her to go to the police. She said that no one would believe her. So she confessed. She convinced Darren murdering her husband was the only way for her to escape.
She was doing it for the money.
There are text messages of Jennifer contacting Darren after the murder, telling him to remove the tea sticker from the back of his truck because she had a bad feeling. Anyway, Jennifer was arrested with the charge, but she forgot to say one last thing. Remember the friend in Jennifer's neighborhood group chat who suggested the killer might be a veteran? That was Darren in the group chat with her neighbors. Jennifer had added the actual killer to the group chat with her neighbours and...
Without realising?
No, she meant it. With her neighbours, and he had the nerve to reply like he was trying to help find the murderer. Isn't that mad?
Where did she get this from?
It's a thread. Oh, there's there's a Lifetime movie on it as well.
No way.
Yeah. I might watch it.
Yeah, me too. That was interesting.
Jennifer's cunning.
Jennifer was crazy. Satanic.
She could have just left her husband.
Right? Why did she have to do all of that?
But I think she wanted his life insurance money because she didn't have money. He was a breadwinner.
So she thought, okay, right, I need him to die. I need him to be killed so I can inherit that.
Basically, Jennifer ain't normal. Anyway, Darren's now in prison for murder and is currently begging the governor for help because he's basically feels like he was manipulated into killing Jamie on false pretenses.
No, I'm sorry. There's no manipulation when it comes to killing.
No, love. You did it.
You did it.
You did it.
You had a choice.
And you did it.
You could have said no. But no, you chose to fire 9 bullets.
Crazy.
Not one, not two, 9.
9.
So he must have felt really strongly about her if he's willing to kill for her. Damn.
Because she made up the story, like, this man's abusing her. He's, like, getting her to, like, sleep with other men, forcing her to do all these things.
And wouldn't a normal person just go over there and have a word or beat him up?
Yeah. Why would you shoot him? She must have, you know, got
into
but
then, they were having a very intense conversation. Damn, women are dangerous. You've never heard me say that on this podcast, but women are dangerous.
I know.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episodes, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to say, Harder and I are so grateful that you guys are still listening to us. So thank you so much for listening to the episode. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share, download 5 stars on the Spotify and to leave a review in the Apple review section. If you guys have a scenario of your own, you know me and Harder trying to halalify the podcast, please send your halal scenarios to callieandharder@gmail.com because we would love to read them. Happy stories, love stories, sunshine, lollipops and rainbows.
Anything that is happy.
Yeah, no.
I just want to be happy.
We just want to be happy.
Thank you guys so much. Have a good night.
Bump, bump.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.